As we now each prepare in fellowship to partake of this bread and wine, we look to our brother Clive for words of exhortation.
Good morning again, my dear brethren and sisters. It's been an interesting year, both politically and spiritually. Things have happened that we would never have thought could have happened. And yet in hindsight, we can see the hand of God at work. And thus it is that we can see in the words of Daniel the prophet that God does indeed command the kingdoms of men. So reading from Daniel chapter 2, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. And Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God for ever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. And with the gift of hindsight, brothers and sisters, we can see how God is at work in the kingdoms and nations of the world. And you may recall that over a number of years I have given addresses at East where I've referenced historical events where clearly the hand of God has been at work. And an example includes Lyndon Johnson, who, after the assassination of JFK, was instrumental in securing the peace and the solidity of the nation of Israel. And we saw how, in terms of the Six-Day War, how the lack of effective protection by Egypt meant that they were they were not prepared to fight in the Six-Day War. And on other occasions, I have made mention of the fact that Israel has, in many ways, been benefited by the hand of God at work. And now, bizarrely, we're going to look at Coventry in terms of where it stands in the hand of the God at work. In 1933, Adolf Hitler was the Prime Minister of Germany. And every day, if you are a citizen of Coventry, you will travel through the Ring Road. You will walk in the precincts of Coventry, and you will see the destruction that Hitler wrought through the Second World War. And yet in 1933, whilst he was the Prime Minister of Germany, he had no real power base. He was subject to the aged and old President Hindenburg, who had the power to both appoint and dismiss him. He had no majority in Parliament. He was opposed by the federal states of Germany, including Bavaria, where his power base had been established in Munich. And he was hated by both the political and the military establishments, who despised him as a little Austrian corporal. But all of this changed by the hand of God one night, February the 27th, 1933, when a lone communist rogue, a Dutchman called Marinus van der Lubbe, broke into the Reichstag, the German parliament. And despite the police being alerted, they waited and delayed in calling the fire brigades. And it resulted in enormous damage to the German parliament. And so Adolf Hitler sought that opportunity and seized it to implement draconian laws which removed the rights of parliament and individuals. And those laws in Germany were never repealed, and it gave Hitler the opportunity to become the dictator that he was and gave ultimate control to him. So Germany had a dictator. And with that unchallenged power, he had the opportunity to put into motion all the things that he wanted to do, which resulted, as we know, in the Second World War and the ethnic cleansing of Jews and Slavs throughout Europe. But after the war, that Holocaust led to the world giving the Jews and the prospective nation of Israel an opportunity to settle in the land of Palestine. So I think it's reasonable to look back in terms of history and look at what was created by Adolf Hitler, an opportunity to establish the nation of Israel. And so we've referenced the Ring Road of Coventry. And if you drive on that ring road, you will see at the junction of Charles Moore a memorial stone to the 13 martyrs of Coventry who were burnt to death because of their faith. And they were burned between the years of 1412 and 1455. And they had the earliest Protestant views of Christianity as opposed to the Catholic Church. And they were encouraged to translate their scriptures into English, which was banned at the time. And so, brothers and sisters, we are privileged to live in a country where we can meet together securely in peace and safety with a freedom to worship. And so we live in a state where for centuries Christian principles have influenced individuals and the state to create a society in which we can live and worship our God. And so the 13 martyrs of Coventry were effectively those that were prepared to establish freedom to worship. And so now, in 2020, we have a situation in which Iranians have come to this country and they find peace and respite in this land. They find comfort amongst Christians. They find comfort amongst us. The final mention of Coventry in this address will be a man called William Morris. Now, William Morris, who created the Morris Motor Company, was indeed a man influenced by Christian principles. He built and developed over 5,000 iron lung machines, which eradicated or helped to eradicate the terrible curse of polio. And as Viscount Nuffield, his legacy continues in the health institutions that he established. Yes. He was modest and unassuming, saying that only one person could have one suit, wear one suit, live in one house, and eat one meal. And yet, individual martyrs like the Coventry martyrs, who gave their lives for the freedom of belief, to bring down the established church, to bring down the institutions that created hatred. And so today in Coventry East Ecclesia, we are witnessing God at work. East is an ecclesia which has a reputation as a safe haven, a compassionate ecclesia within the brotherhood, a kind, compassionate and welcoming place in which we can worship. And so we are witnessing God at work, who has called men and women to worship him and bring forward their beliefs. So now, having reflected upon the power of God, we come to the emblems. Let us remember that we have a compassionate God. Can you turn with me, please, to Micah chapter 7? Micah 7 and verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the ever transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retains not his anger for ever, because he delights in mercy. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers in the days of old. So we have a God who is compassionate, a God that sees the iniquities of his people and is prepared to forgive them. And that compassion of God was shown through his Son. Can you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew 9 and verse 36. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. And Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20 and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion upon them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. And now in the emblems of bread and wine, we see the compassion of Jesus. We see how he was prepared to sacrifice his own life, and his Father was prepared to sacrifice his Son so that we may have life and have forgiveness of our failings and our sins.